Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up with it? Attention sack artists. You trying to get your music played? R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy. Spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone at yahoo.com. That's DJONEGONE at yahoo.com. Make sure you give a call to 347-205-9722 or log on to blogtalkradio.com.
Good morning. This is Marvell, and I'm standing in the gap for my buddy, Tim Poole. He's gonna come on the line. We're commencing once again to our program to probe to see what we can do to help each other as a community, as a group of people. So if we have someone on hand ready to come in, I'm a trust that they'll be let in. Yet if not, then I have a few things that I'd like to put to the floor immediately. The other day, the last session we had, we talked about the church and its participation in the things that are going on in our community. And then the final question was asked about whether or not the callers, most of them or all of them, whether or not they go to church, and the answer was generally no. And then something was in the air about spirituality and religion. So I think that it's going to be important to get some more detail and clear understanding of what's the difference, if any, between spirituality and religion. As for myself, I can give you my understanding of the distinction between the two, and it starts with religion. To me, seems to be a practice by a group of people to follow some guidelines and some doctrines that are of that particular group. So I guess when we look at it, we'll see that there are a number of different religions that you could practice. So it's really sort of like, what ritual do you choose to worship or to fellowship or to follow? Whereas what's spiritual to me is something that if I'm clear and able, meaning if I'm like not in the midst of a turmoil or in the midst of confusion, when I am just at a mellow state, I something speaks to me. And it creates a feeling of righteousness, a knowledge that what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling is pure and good and coming from likely the Spirit of God. And so that's something that I think I practice when I'm able, when I'm not burdened with a lot of external things, I can be more in touch with that voice and that feeling that something of God is within me, and it's coming in, and it's not only in me, but it's coming through me, and I can really feel it. Kind of like the distinction for me between practicing religion and seeking spirituality. So I don't know if someone on the line want to respond to that, or if someone has their version of the distinction between the two. I'd like to hear it.
And so I'm going to let Brother Larry in. I had another caller in I was trying to get a hold to. They called from an unknown number. But when you say religion and spirituality, see, I'm a spiritual person. I'm not too much into no religion. There's too many of them. And so what I do know about religions, they don't practice the same set of morals and values. So for instance, Jehovah's Witness, they don't do birthdays, they don't do the Christmas, they don't do the holidays. They, you know, and they'll be out there all day with literature and out there really in the streets. So I have to give them A+ because they out in the streets. And then we have the Mormons. I see a couple of guys riding the bikes dressed in white shirts and black slacks, and they present the word. They go into the hood. They go down and dirty in the hood. They go right to the crack, the man selling it, and give you a version of what God mean to them. And so there's a lot of religions. Like I said, there's a lot of religions. But spirituality is having a personal relationship with the Most High, a personal relationship with yourself, a personal relationship in that you believe that God can see you through. And so when you say religions, I'm not into religion. And those that are religious seem to be two-faced, because I dealt with some religious people, and I've been hurt by religious people because I didn't dress a certain way, or I didn't speak a certain way, or I didn't show up a certain way. But they say, come as you are. And so if I'm coming as I am, if I was on drugs and I'm looking for the Most High to save me from drugs, and I go into the church, and I might have got high just before I went in the church, but at least I'm coming in to see and hear a word that may save me from myself. And I've seen where that ain't likely gonna happen at some of these churches. They look down upon you when you ain't got yourself right. And what I know church to be is a place where the sick go to get healed. And so, yeah, I've been hurt by the church all my life. My grandfather was Reverend J.D. Griffin. My uncle was Bishop Yardley Griffin. I got three cousins that's ministers. And what I've seen in the Word and what I've seen in church, they contradict each other most of the time, because they say treat your neighbor as you'd like to be treated. And, I've seen them throw their nose up and roll their eyes at the neighbor. And so I'm just saying that from my experience. I'm not trying to put that out there for everybody. I just said from my experience, that's what I've experienced. Now, I've seen some love in the church as well. I've seen some love in the church. I've seen where certain churches, they go all the way out for their members. They go all the way out for their community. So it's not all churches. It's not enough for them churches to see a positive influence, a positive structure, a positive push for me. It's a lot of money-hungry people trying to get paid by using the word. And so one of the pastors told me about, in 1996, I had stopped selling drugs, right? And I lived right next door to St. Paul's Baptist Church, and on the other side of my house was a liquor store. And so people used to say, man, you live right between the church and the liquor store, and you selling drugs. I said, well, I'm going to stop when God stops. And so God stopped me. He sure did. He took that wanting to have all that money and fast money away from me. It made me feel relieved that I don't have to look over my shoulder anymore. Made me feel relieved that I didn't have to worry about, going to jail or getting robbed. And so what he asked me, he said, son, why is you selling this drug? I said, well, this is a way for me to make some money. I got a job, but the job ain't helped me pay this rent, and I'm living by myself. I got rent. I got insurance. I got car note. I got everything I had. I needed extra money because the job wasn't paying me enough, right? And so I thought that that would help, you know, and plus I was already in the game, right? And so I asked him, I said, well, why do you preach? He said, I preach the word of God to teach prosperity in our community. And I said, prosperity, okay. I said, so what you're saying is that you're gonna preach to the people about how to get money? He said, yeah, because if you, the dope dealer, can get paid to be out here, I think that the minister should get paid more than you. And I looked at him, and I said, okay, so is that Christ-like? Because Christ made, he walked in, and he made many a moves on this earth. But he didn't get paid. At least I didn't see it in the good book where he got a salary. But I'm going to let that sit right there. Anyway, Larry, what you say?
Come on, Larry.
No, Larry's here. So I'm just coming in. I'm just coming in, but hey, like I said, I was a pastor. My father was a minister, pastor in Beaumont, Texas, so a Baptist church. So, hey, that's where I'm from. So I can't judge nobody and can't say this about nobody, but I was listening to this pastor yesterday here at the church talking about how people in the church trying to control other people and run their household when their household is messed up. So you can't judge and run nobody else's house from in the church or looking out. So that's what I said, because it caused a lot of creation and break up marriages and everything. Everybody wants to be better than everybody, even the mothers of the church. I mean, I've seen it happen.
Wow.
That's it.
I was a member of I was with they call it the City Mission in Cleveland, Ohio. And they're a faith-based organization. When I came out of the penitentiary, I was homeless, so I went there, and then they allowed me to become a part of the mission. It was just a shelter, but they saw something in me, and I graduated to the point where I was a member of the mission. And in the mission, we used to go to different churches because we had what we call a men's chorus. And that was a rarity to have men singing together and going from church to church. One church we went to, it's mostly Baptist. We developed a good relationship with the pastor and his wife. And they were people who observed the same kind of thing that Tim was talking about, is how people treat people. And if you come as you are, if it's not good enough, then you get looked upon with disdain and treated unfavorably. So they decided, the pastor and his wife decided to dress up or dress down. The pastor wore a beard, and he got an old scraggly beard. The pastor's wife got some old clothes. And they went into church, their own church. They let the assistant pastor and the deacon have the service while they sat in the pews. Sat in congregation and observed how they got treated, and they were treated badly because of their appearance. To me, that was a clear distinction between what's spiritual and what's religious. Because what's religious to me is more visible. What's spiritual to me is invisible. And I look forward to experiencing and bringing to the visibility bringing to the surface what comes through me that's invisible, rather than go somewhere where everything is visual, and if you don't match up, you don't get the favor of the people that you're around.
I got Mark on the line. I got Larry. I'm going to leave the lines open. Mark, good morning to you.
Grand Rising Kings and Queens. How are you all doing today? It seems like I came in at the right time. Like I said before, the churches and just about any major group of people, they just chasing the bag. They forgot about the souls of the people. They forgot about the love for mankind. That's why it's up to us to be that shining light in this dark and wicked world. And you study a book days on end, and you still don't understand what that book is talking about. All it's talking about is love. Just L-O-V-E, love. I don't know how man got money mixed up into it and all this and that, because God only talks about the first fruits, and that's the works of your labor, your hands. That's planting, taking care of cattle or whatnot. Man that got money mixed up in the picture and it's just got everything just thrown off kill. I mean, everything just gone haywire. People do look down upon people who have less than them. And the book tells you about that. See, so everything that book talks about, these people that profess this book goes against the grain. And it's time for, we got to pull the covers off of them and show them for who they really are. You know, it's and really it's all a trick of the enemy. But like I said, you got to think about where the book, how the book got into your hands. See, that's one of the main things. How did you come about that book? So if people think about that, how they come about certain things, then they can learn how to rectify certain things. Like,
hey, Mark.
You know, it's just like,
Mark,
it's just like kissing
a
disease.
Mark, let me intercede to say this. Because you came in at that time, what was on the floor, and I'm sure you have your question about the difference between religion and spirituality. If you see a difference, could you help us understand why you see a difference?
Okay. The difference between religion and spirituality is something that you gain by being alone. Nobody can teach you this. Nobody can tell you about it. It's an experience that you gain on your own. It's something that's within you already, and you learn how to connect it to the main source. It's just like saying if we were born with plugs and we walked around and our battery's draining, and you look at that plug and you look at that sockets and stuff and you see a socket, okay, that's a three-prong, well, mine is a two-prong, mine ain't gonna fit in there, so you find that right socket that it fits in. And that's spirituality. This religion mess, it's got people all mixed up because they give them a universal plug. Or you can plug in here with us, and it just don't connect. You're not going to get a fully charged battery. If you use a type of charger that didn't come with your phone, it don't fully charge your battery as fast as the one that came with that phone. You got to have the right connection. And then once you get the right connection, you got to have the right mindset. A lot of us are just like these cell phones or other electronic devices. We use so used to charging up fast that we don't even get fully drained before we charge back up. So now we only can accept so much battery juice. I mean, so much power that we cannot get a full charge anymore. So we have to be careful what we attach ourselves to, who we're listening to. Because if your mind ain't strong enough to withstand the lies and the deception, you're going to be caught up. And a man would rather believe a lie than the truth, and the truth could be in his face, and he'd rather believe a lie because there's more people standing on that lie. So, I mean, it's tough, brother. And I hope I was a help to you.
That was a great analogy. The battery charging, that was a good analogy to describe how to get to the source and how you fall short of the source. Because I just know when something, when the Spirit of God operates through me, I know it and I find joy in it. I find strength in it when the Spirit of God is flowing through me. And I remember when I got clean from drug usage, and I was practicing in the 12-step fellowship, and I was fellowshipping with people who are like me, like mine, like experiences, and I was getting better and better and closer to that Spirit. It was to the point, and it's going to sound, I don't know how to sound to you, but it was to the point where I was so in tune with that source that, and this is the truth, I'd be riding down the street, and a couple of times I just knew what the next, I was listening to the radio, and I knew what the next record was going to be. And it was. So I'm saying when you're in tune with that source, there's something very special that happens that helps, at least me, helps me understand that I'm doing the right thing. And I was also into helping people. I was also into exploring my gifts and talents. And I had courage. I had courage that came from the knowledge that Spirit was available to me. All I had to do a lot of times was just get out the way and let that Spirit flow through me. So that's one of the distinctions of religion, because I get nervous when I'm in a religious setting around people, because I have I'm kind of outspoken in one regard, and then I'm kind of reserved in another, and I don't want to go against the jargon that they're using, but a lot of times I don't subscribe to it, so I'm just kind of quiet, you know, and I'll get gleaned from how I should respond to somebody when they come to me. And I'm kind of like guarded all the time to make sure that I don't hurt somebody's feelings or go against the grain of what's going on in that atmosphere. So it's not very comfortable for me to be in that setting. But it is very comfortable for me to be at a state of clarity and peace and then just allow that Spirit to be in and through me. That's my distinction. What you say, Larry?
Well, I agree with you guys saying that, you know, we all, like I said, we all go through different things and everything. So, everybody has their different opinions on how and what they what they like in life and what they get out of it.
Right on.
Yeah. And so I'm back. And so I like the way this discussion is going. I can understand and I appreciate where we're going with this, because this was spoke on last week, I believe last Friday or last Thursday and Friday, right? And it was all
right.
About... who goes to church from our listening audience, or who is on the line? Who goes to church? And I asked the question, why or why not do you go to church? And so most of the callers or most of the people online said they didn't go to church, and they told their reason why they didn't go to church. And I just don't want to put a black eye or blackball the church in any type of way. This is not an attempt to demean or break down or anything of the church. We're just noticing some things that the churches have represented years ago that it's nowhere near that. It's nowhere near that. The saints used to come out in droves, when people got sick. They take time and go to the sick and shut in, and they pray for them, and they if you had a cold, they'd come to your house. If you couldn't make it out, they'd come there and pray for you. If you had cancer, if you had whatever your situation was, the church was there to pray for you, to let you know that they know that God can heal you from that you have. And if you don't get healed and it's terminal illness, that God will comfort you through that thing. See, they kept the word real. And so now all I hear really is prosperity. I'm telling you, when I was listening with my wife yesterday, we was listening to Creflo Dollar. And Dr. Dollar has changed his way of thinking. He said it on the TV. He said, for years, I've been preaching prosperity and got away from the word of God to where it's hurting my people. And so then I found out, I did a little research, that he was sick. He was sick. He's sick with cancer, and God is saving his life to continue his message. And so I weighed the two. I said, you know, when you get ready to leave this world, we have to be real with this world. And so I see that Creflo Dollar, Dr. Dollar, I'm going to call him Dr. Dollar. I used to not like Creflo, and I'm going to tell y'all why. So in 1992, I end up on the yard of CMC East. I was on C Yard. My first bid, first time going to gym. And so I wrote to Dr. Dollar that year and asked him for a Bible so I can get closer to God, because I've been a mess up until that point. I was running all kind of stuff. I was out on the whole stroll. I was out there dealing dope. Well, the dope we had, the whole stroll come to me. But I was out there, and I'm going to tell y'all, I was out there bad. I wasn't stealing, robbing, or killing, but I was selling that drug to everybody, pregnant women and everything, and that haunts me to this day. That haunts me to this day. But I want y'all to know that when Creflo told me, or it might not even been him, because the pastor don't write back. Whoever wrote back for Creflo told me, I need to send some money to get a Bible. They don't give away free Bibles. And I said to myself, self, you got to do better for yourself. If the man of God can't send you a Bible. So I told the brothers on the yard at the church, and they did the same thing. They said, no, that might have been a mistake. So about two or three of them brothers wrote Dr. Dollar, and got the same response, that they're not giving no Bibles. They're not sending no Bibles. And here we is in prison, the lowest part of my life, the lowest point of my life. And I can't get a Bible to try to change my ways. Oh, I was hot with Mr. Dollar, Dr. Dollar. And until I seen him yesterday denounce the words he had been preaching for years, he said, I was preaching the wrong word. I was preaching the wrong word. And so I appreciate Dr. Dollar. I love him, and may he get well. But I'm not here to judge nobody. I just know that I'm a human. I do right. I done turned away from my old ways of doing wrong, which was selling drugs. I'm going to tell you, selling drugs is the worst thing I ever done, and it haunts me to the day. And so I want y'all to know, man, that God is good, and he is alive, living right now. I ain't praying to no dead God. I'm praying to a live God that's making it happen daily for me. I can't speak for nobody else. He give me breath to wake up, energy to get up, and eyes and feet to get somewhere, you know. And I want to thank him for that, because somebody didn't wake up this morning. Somebody can't see right now. Somebody can't walk right now. But he gave me all of my limbs and my eyesight, And for that, I'm grateful. And for that, I thank you. And that'll be it for me.
Well done, well said. Yeah, these, you know, I was involved with a group of people way back, and they had some. They talked about universal principle, right? And those are the things that are very clear and obvious to me. How principle works, right? And so they used to say, and I agree, that time I look and everything I touch, everything I see and feel, God is in it. So I'm seeing God, excuse me, I'm seeing God in everything I experience. And because of that acknowledgement, if I don't attend to and if I don't recognize, I'll find myself seeking some other midway to the God and the Spirit of God if I'm not careful. Because God is in anything I see, and I'm looking around now and I'm saying, I don't see nothing that's not in and of God, nothing. So my job is to make sure that I keep that acknowledgement out front. My job is to make sure that I have myself the ability to be in connection with that Spirit that makes everything happen and do the things that and I'm just like you, Tim. There was a time when, I was kind of like a godless person because my anger and resentment kind of overcalled my anything spiritual about me, even anything religious about me. I wasn't going to church because I didn't like faking in church, and I was angry with people in general. So I had episodes where I actually tried to kill people. I mean, I actually, when I stopped doing what I was doing with them, I thought their life would be over. And it was God's grace that saved us both each time. So I have to really stop and recognize that I don't really need to do anything. But what is important to the Spirit of God, and that's to share that Spirit, share the goodness that God has allowed me to be a part of and to experience in my life, and go forth and help people get to that point where they have that connection. Because that connection is the freedom for everyone, for everything. Once you make that connection, but if we allow ourselves to be deterred, or like Mark said, we got a 249 and we try to plug into a 120, doesn't work so well. Matter of fact, doesn't work at all.
No, I have to agree with you on that, on all that's been said. That's the thing we have to understand. That's the part about being an individual. We all receive things differently. We all understand things differently. And that's why it's very important that every man, not some men, every man gets to know God for themselves. See, because you got to know who you say you know when you say you know him. You just don't wake up knowing that you have to do certain things. Certain things are learned as we go. We learn a lot of things through trial and error. That's how I learned a lot of things, through trial and error. As a kid, I was brought up in church. Went every Sunday 2-3 times a day. And when I turned 11, I questioned God. How can you be real
and you did all this for everybody else but didn't do it for me. All these other kids got families. Well, I couldn't have a family. Am I not like them? And I went through life after the age of 11 talking about God. I hated God. Raised my kids thinking I was God until I turned 34. I found myself in the backseat of a car. I had two cars. I never rode with anybody, but this particular night of Christmas Eve, I found myself in the backseat of a car, and something tapped me on the shoulder. And when it tapped me on the shoulder, it asked me, did I believe? The guys in the front seat turned around and asked me, what did I say? Told them I didn't say nothing. Went a little further, tapped me again, asked me, did I believe, and said, are you in control? They turned around again and argued with me, saying I was saying something. But that part there lets me know that when God speaks to a man, he's speaking to that man. Nobody else understands what's being said. They might hear some gerbil or something, but they don't understand what's saying because they're not speaking to him at that time, to them at that time. But anyway, when I sobered up and focused, we was going down a one-way street the wrong way. So nobody can tell me that God is not real. And I started seeking God. And I sought God in all the different religions. My landlord was a Jehovah Witness, and my maintenance man was a Muslim. I liked what both of them did. Both of them had their own type of outreach, but they did outreach. They was doing more than the Baptists and the holiness of Protestants that I grew up understanding. But anyway, I went and found a church, and it happened to be a Pentecostal. And that's when I began to study. Well, I say re-study the Bible, because as a kid I read the Bible. I was made to read it. So went through from Genesis to Revelation over and over again. But when I studied up under him, I got up under a guy, my bishop. He was a spiritual man. He didn't put on the board what they're going to preach about next week. He preached by revelation. So I learned to love that. And he was always found praying. Anytime you see him, he's praying. So I love that part. But like I say, what I didn't like was the way the family would try to commercialize everything in the church, you know. So that was one of my things there. But then after becoming a deacon, God pulled me out of church and told me that I'm not here. I'm out here. Every living thing is me. That's what I put here for you, to sustain you, every living thing. These houses does not live. These houses are dead. You cannot get a connection through something like this, just like a dead line. It's like the power cut off to that house, but you steady plugging in. Oh, I'm getting a full charge. I'm getting a full charge. No, you're not getting a full charge. You're probably getting something similar. You got a false sense of hope you're getting a charge, but you're not. That's why I say we got to think for ourselves. It's fine to go listen to a man stand before you and talk about something that he knows about and what he wants you to know about, because they've been conditioned to teach a certain way. They cannot teach the way God wants them to because they have accepted this nonprofit. And once you accept that, you have to do things their way or else they'll cut you off. You'll lose everything. You're building all that. So we have to rethink a lot of things. And like I said, do your research. And to do research on God is easy. Just get out there where God is at. Get out there near the, close to the things that he made, the trees, the water, the earth. All that grows. It grows just like you grows. It needs the same thing you need to grow, water. And it provides the food, the nourishment that you need. Not no packaged stuff in no grocery store with all this GMO and this stuff you don't need. They got stuff in this food to make you crazy. You guys better do your research and check up on it. You wonder why your kids are being bad. Think about that cereal that you're buying them. Think about these chips that you're giving them. You guys have to think. The enemy don't love you. He likes what you could do for him, but he don't love you. And when you get through doing what you want for him, he's going to push you to the side. So, like I say again, think. God gave every man something equal, and that's common sense. And that's how you rightly divide the word, common sense. You're not going to be able to do it if you steady cheating, listen to somebody else. It's just like copying. God don't want followers. God wants individuals. When individuals begin to follow him, now they're following in their own path. Right now, you got a bunch of men just lined up behind just soldiers. This man leading you down to the pit. But people don't care because the majority is going that way. They laughing and talking all the way over the cliff. So like I say, become that individual that God created. You got a certain laugh that brightens up people. But if most people that get around other people, they start to laugh like them. Have you ever heard that? People begin to emulate other people. We got to be yourself. Can't nobody be you better than you. So be the best you could be. Starting right now. I digress.
I remember a spiritual experience that I had that brought me really, really clear and understand, and the understanding of the Spirit of God without a doubt. I was standing at a bus stop because I was riding a bus back then in Cleveland. And it was in the eve, 8:30, 9 o'clock. And this one bus, it's called the St. Clair bus. It runs round the clock all night, right? Because St. Clair is a very main artery in the city. So it goes from downtown Cleveland all the way to the end, not quite to the end, but, you know, a ways down St. Clair. And it runs regularly. But it was late today. So I'm waiting for the bus, and a guy comes up. And he said, "Man, did that bus come yet?" I said, "No, it's late." He said, "Yeah, I'm going to be late for work, man." He was kind of like kind of frantic. Like, "Man, I can't be late for work. I'm on probation with this job. I can't be late." So about 30 seconds later, the bus comes, but it's crowded. So when I get on the bus, I get in that little area behind the bus driver, and they got this strap that comes down off his rail, and you can hold the strap to steady yourself. So I'm standing there in this crowded bus, and the guy that got on and was late for work found a seat. So I'm standing there, and two stops later, this guy gets on. He's drunk. He gets on the bus. He has to stand too, but he's not standing so well because he's drunk. So he's wavering, and he's stepping, and he stepped on my shoe. Now, that was kind of like a misdemeanor back in the day, because I keep my shoes shine, I keep myself nice and crisp and groomed all the time. So he stepped on my foot, so I made myself smaller so it wouldn't happen again. And he stepped over again and stepped on my foot again. And I was cordial about it. I said, "Brother, I said, look, man, how many more times you gonna step on my foot, man?" And dude said, "Man, see, that's the problem. We can't even touch each other." I'm like, "Oh, okay, yeah, okay." So a seat came open, and one of the ones that faced the aisle, and he sat down. And then the guy that got on the bus was late for work, saw a seat right across from this guy. He said, "Here go a seat, man, get that one." So I sit down, and I'm sitting right across from this guy, and it kept going in my head, "That's our problem. We can't even touch each other." So just as guy was getting ready to get off the bus that was late for work, he got up to go, and he was standing at where the door opens up in the front. And as he did that, it crossed my mind, and I said, "Hey, man, excuse me." I said, "You know what? It's possible I might have overreacted." And I reached across the aisle, and I said, I shake your hand, and I said, "I apologize." The guy that was getting off the bus saw that. And he was in tears when he got off the bus and said, "Man, that was beautiful." So now I'm on this floating high. I'm not even there anymore. I'm floating in my mind and in my spirit. I'm just not there anymore. I'm just somewhere else. And we get to the end of the bus. I mean, the bus gets to the end, and it usually stops at this stop where I was getting off, but nobody pulled the ring. I was so glow. I was in such a reverie that I forgot to pull the cord. And so I didn't get off where I wanted to get off at. I had to go where they turned the bus around. So I got up and got off the bus, crossed the street, and a voice said to me, "If there's any money to be found tonight, you're going to find it." And I took two more steps and looked down. It was $70 on the ground. That's how I know. When you're in tune, you get, when you're in connection, you get that. And when you perform in the act of Spirit of God, these are, this is a type of favor that you can earn. That kind of connection. That was my experience.
I have to agree with you on that, my brother, because that's the way God is. God will meet you at the point of your needs, not at the point of your wants, but your needs. He'll take care of your needs. All you got to do is be patient. That's all you got to do is be patient. And that applies to everything in life. Be patient. Patience is a virtue, not something that'll hurt you. You will see the signs. When you operate in the spirit, you will see the signs. And something else I want to let you guys know, that everybody you meet is not supposed to go with you all the way. Some of them go with you just a short distance. Some go a little further. But it's just like getting on a bus. We all get off at different stops. And if you get off the bus at the wrong stops, now you're stuck. You got to wait for the next bus to come. But just know in your heart that next bus going to come. And that applies to everything in life. And, you know, the old folks used to say, everything is full circles, boy. If you missed it this time, it'll come back around. Just know how to treat it right when it comes back around. Do right. And so if you practice doing right by people, you will not fall short. It's one big love fest. It's simple. Very simple. Just love, love. That's something we got plenty of. We got plenty of love. But if we allow that anger, that malice, that gal to overrule, all you're going to do is hurt people because you're hurt. You're hurt because you didn't have that car like you see that that guy drive past you in. You didn't have that pretty woman that you seen. Some things is not wrapped up in a pretty package. See, and that's man's biggest mistake there. Things don't look like what he wants. So he passed it by and commits the best thing in his life. Guys got to wake up, smell the coffee, smell the roses, take your time out. You know, say hi to somebody. Greet somebody. Greet them with love. Love turns away a great deal of wrath. I mean, just put a smile on somebody's face. That's all God asks us to do. A simple, I love you, man. That helps people. Whether you believe it or not, it helps them. Versus a frown, what you looking at? Well, what you think he looking at? Take a look in the mirror. Then you'll see what he's looking at. He see anger all over you. Maybe he want to try to break that vice that's holding you. Because we all have vices, one thing or another. We all have them. But one thing we have a lot of is love. So let's get at love. All right, Brother Tim.
So I'm gonna tell you.
Did you guys hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. You just smart.
Yeah,
Mark.
I'm here.
No, this is Joe. Yeah,
Joe. Right, go ahead,
hey,
Joe.
Go ahead.
Hey, fellas, I'll wait till you finish your comment.
No, this this might open up a whole new perspective. So go ahead, Joe. Share what you want to share about this the topic that you heard.
From just listening to what you were talking about and thinking, I was sitting out here thinking about a couple of instances in Vietnam where, Brother Mark, that voice was very loud and clear to me. Didn't understand it at the time, but I thank God that I do understand it and the meaning of it today. One particular instance while you guys were talking, I'm sitting out here just reminiscing and thinking that about the voice. I don't usually talk about this, but I will say this, that voice, Brother Mark. Huh.
Yes, sir.
That voice had me
don't
go out beyond the wire, had me transfixed. had me in some sort of haze or trance. I was, you know how you can see and you can feel but you can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
I was in that type of a feeling, and I couldn't understand why, and I really didn't understand the voice at that moment. The area that we were in, we left, and lo and behold, all hell broke loose about 2 to 3 minutes later in that same area. If I had been in that same area, I would not be talking with you today. That voice said you need to move. Wasn't anybody around me, but I moved, and thank God I did. That's just one incident. So I'm a firm believer. Now that I've had a chance to understand what that voice meant and why it was used, and now that I've had a chance to mature, I understand what that voice is, and I understood why you two were talking about how Brother Marvell, how it spoke to you about the $70, and Brother Mark, how it spoke to you in the circumstance you were in. I totally agree that we all hear a voice. Now, some of us are strong enough to adhere to that voice so that we can actually move forward. Others do not listen for that voice. But it seems that brothers such as ourselves, or men such as ourselves, we listen for an alternative, and that alternative is that voice. And I'm standing in front of a photo of him now. I appreciate the voice. Others may not understand it, but I appreciate the voice. I appreciate it. It has saved me. It has made me turn on issues that I wanted to get thoroughly involved in, and the voice said to me, don't do that. And I didn't do it. And because I didn't do it, I'm here today. I'm here today.
Ashe.
I didn't say anything, but I thank God for it. And I listen. I try to seek the voice out now. Oh, yeah. I'll be honest about that.
Yes, sir.
I'm steadily trying to find the voice. I am. In everything that I try to do, I steadily try to find that voice. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the thing about that voice, Brother Joe. That voice will come to you when it needs to come to you. See,
that's right.
God sits high and he looks low. God is watching everything that's being done. Some things God just take his hands back because we chose to do these things. And see, we have a choice. And so God is not going to interfere with our choice because that's where you learn your lessons at. See, every day is either a lesson or a blessing. And God being the type of God that he is, he's a God of love. And he loves you so much that he's going to let you bump your head. He's going to let you bump your head because once you bump your head, you will learn not to do that again. Those are knowledge knots. I got a bunch of them on my head, knowledge knots.
Uh-huh.
I learned not to do those things
again.
You know, so the thing is, what I'm saying, we can't be so hard on each other. That's what made the healing circle what it is. All of us come from different walks of life. We may have did the same things in life, but our walk was different. We did not, our journeys are similar, but we meet different people along the way. And that's why it's important that each one of us do what we're supposed to do. You know, like I said, the Bible tells you, pick up your cross and follow me. And when it's saying follow me, follow Christ. And Christ is something that we've never seen him, never heard his voice, anything. We don't really know if he exists. But what it's doing is giving you an assimilation of who he is. And if we all picked up our burdens and carried them, you'll find out they're not that heavy. And you can go a great distance with them. Because as you go along your path, you will meet people with burdens heavier than yours. Make you say, wow, I'm up here complaining about this. And look at him. You know, just like the man with no legs. You got legs. But you see people with no legs. How do you think they feel? But they're still going right along. A lot of them got love in their heart. A lot of them got a smile on their face. So those are the things we have to think about. So we can't lose sight on the Creator. We can't lose sight on that man that's in need. That's why I say again, I go out every day. When I meet somebody, I seek the need, not the fault. And we have to be careful because we're all guilty of it. We'll see somebody and, oh, man, that's a thug. Maybe he don't have nothing else to wear. Maybe he don't have a belt. His pants just falling off of him. You know, but when you see these guys with belts on and their pants down, then you know the difference. But those are the things we have to look at. So we have to be very careful how we meet people, how we greet people, because like the words say, you never know when you're entertaining an angel. Because we all do foolish things, but even a fool can teach you something if you pay close attention. Because it's not always what a person says, it's what they're doing. And that's how I was taught to judge people, how to recognize good and bad. You see what they're doing. I'd have seen guys come up in three-piece suits selling dope, three-piece suits robbing banks, three-piece suits beating on their wives. You know, so you really have to be careful of how we judge people, because if we were standing on the street and we were lost, we will see somebody in a three-piece suit, we'll be more apt to ask him for directions than ask that drunk standing over there. That drunk knows the way around there, and he'll get home when he's drunk, and he can tell you how to get to where you need to go. If you ask that man that three-piece suit, he might set you up. He'll send you down a dead end road where some guys is waiting. So we have to be careful and cautious. I digress.
Somebody got feedback. Somebody got a little feedback. Let's be mindful, gentlemen, of our background. Somebody got a little feedback going. Okay, so I have a whereas in transition to what's happening currently that now that we're talking about it, I'm seeing how important it is for us to do what we're doing with the young people, where technology has intercepted our youth's ability to do introspection and to have the quietude and to have that oneness with self, so that spirit could speak to them. Technology is blocking that. In their ever waking hour, they have a gravity to some type of technology. And it makes me wonder, do they ever spend time looking at what's inside of them? That's why we push for them to explore their artistic ability, their creative ability, because we are observing that they are not attending to internal forces. They're attending to external forces. So now that we're talking about the Spirit of God, it helps me understand if they're not in tune with and willing to make that connection, that's why they don't have a lot of respect. They don't have any reverence. They don't have any patience. They don't have any regard for someone who is doing something slowly. Everything has to be immediate now. If you're not doing it immediately, if you're not stimulating them in the moment, they don't have a willingness to defer gratitude to, you do something now and you get something later. They're not really in tune with that. I do something now, I want the payoff now. And that's something that occurred to me while we were talking, that makes our challenge with them, to me, a little clearer, what we would do to help define where they're what we might call a deficiency is a lack of time, unwillingness to stop. Just stop. And gives them attention to the Spirit of God.
Well, I have to agree with you on that. I have to agree with you on that. And, you know, it's just like the military. We're taught to do things. We're taught to hate people. You know, if that person is wearing this uniform, we're taught to hate them. And the same way in families. Families, when a child is born, that child has no idea about hate. Hate is something that's taught. A lot of things that we are taught to do is not right to do. And that's why I say we have to develop the mindset to use your common sense. When you go to school, they teach you against common sense because they teach you this is how it's done. This is how it's supposed to be done. This is the way it's going to be done. You get your answers just like I got mine, the way I was taught to get them. So these are going to teach the same thing. Nobody's taught to use their common sense on things. So that's one of the greatest defects of man. And it goes to following man again. We have to think for ourselves. Yes, sir.
Mark, let me intercede to ask you this, because you've used that term kind of frequently. Define common sense.
Common sense is something that you're born with. It's that inkling that you have. It's that what females call female intuition. It's something that it's in you. You have a certain knowing that's right from wrong. You knowing that you're doing something wrong, but you chose to do it anyway. Your common sense tells you, no, that's wrong. But you chose to do it anyway because you've seen someone else do it. So you're not using common sense. You're following someone. So that's why I say we have to, it's just like I say, to get to know God, you got to forget everything that you've ever been taught, heard, or read to know them, to know God. It's just like if I want to get to know you, I could ask anybody that knows you about you, and they'll tell me certain things about you. But if I get to know you, you'll tell me certain things that they don't know. And that's the importance of getting to know who you say you know. And that's common sense. It teaches you things, how to come up with decisions on your own without asking someone. See, a lazy man will ask somebody something to try to get a quick fix. But a wise man will take his time to analyze the situation. And once you analyze the situation, you'll find out that the way he got it, you can't do it. I'll go back to the man with no legs. Now, that man know he can't get up and walk to that corner, so he got to figure out another way to get there. Either he going to crawl, somebody going to pack him, or he going to roll. So, I mean, common sense teaches these things. And to utilize common sense is simple. Just take your time and analyze it. Analyze the situation. Now, I may have not worded it correctly, I know, because you word things a lot better. You know, you're an eloquent speaker. But, and I say again, my common sense tells me that I can't try to talk like you because I didn't have the teachings that you have. But I do know how to relate to people, and I relate to them the best way I can. And those that hear me was meant to hear me, and those that didn't, they have to wait for you to break it down to them.
No, you did quite well.
Let me add something to what both you guys have said, Brother Marvell. Timing, common sense, timing. Nowadays, we don't have because of technology. When we did not have technology, it took time for everything to be thought of, acted upon, and finished. Now, that entire three-step concept is within seconds. So timing and common sense. Common sense, to me, is like you said a moment ago, Brother Mark, having an emotional feeling that just because I can does not mean I should. Now, to actually be able to think like that and act like it takes time. The kids nowadays, Brother Marvell, don't have that time to understand what was just said, to understand what we know. That's why I constantly say the same thing by going to them and showing and teaching them shows them that there are different elements. There are different things that they can acquire. And common sense, all of us have it, but all of us don't have the time to use it. And therefore, it gets lost. It gets lost in the TV, the computer, the cell phone. It gets lost, common sense, because there's a quick fix to something that would take at least an hour, 2 hours to meditate, think about, and then act upon, where you don't make those kinds of mistakes when you meditate, think, and then act. But when you hastily act, you have problems. And we've all out there, I've gone through that. I've gone through a lot of that, acting hastily, not using what God gave me as common sense on a particular issue. I failed. Again, I was able to recover, but if I had thought it through, taken the time to use my common sense, I wouldn't have had a mistake in the first place. But as Brother Mark says, God gives you the opportunity to slip and fall and then get up. And I'm always thankful for that.
I say.
Let me tell you, let me point out an irony. We're talking about time and not expending or not using time to do the things that we know, if given the time and the effort, will be a good guiding force. It will be a source of clear joy and an experience that you will want to duplicate, meaning allowing the Spirit of God to flow through you where you know what it is, right? Now, here's the irony.
Right.
These gadgets have crunched time for these young people. Well, for society generally, but moreover, for the young people, have crunched time. What it might have taken 15 minutes to do before can be done in 15 seconds. So all they have is time. It's just that what they're spending that time on is recreation and entertainment. That's the irony. They have the time. They just don't have the willingness to expend it towards something that is not an immediate gratification. That's mm-hmm. the irony. So mm-hmm. now we have a hard time getting and holding their attention, even though we're speaking. Listen, Tim and I were at one of our classes, and we introduced ourselves. We talked about our age. And now I think it was like a couple of days after I turned 70. Tim, I hope you don't mind me sharing it, Tim is 58, right? And it dawned on me that when we asked those kids, why do they think we're here, and they start telling us, we could say it with surety that you guys sitting with 158 years of experience before you. No, not 128 years of experience right here, right? And that statement, I would think, would raise the eyebrow and say, oh, okay, well, maybe I need to stop and give attention to 128 years of experience. However, that's not enough for them. 128 years of experience that's not exhilarating to their senses is not that important to them. So I say, and it's important for me to share this as being someone, an operative in the field, is that we as the knowledgeable adults, the mature, the elders of our clan and our culture, to not just rest on the laurels of our experience and our age. We have to be creative about how we convey to these young people so that we have the ability to hold their attention beyond just being tolerable, being tolerated, right? They'll tolerate you, you know. And then it's like, okay, old school, I'll give you 3 minutes. I'm gone now. I'm gonna get on back on what I was doing. That's really stimulating to me because you ain't really doing it for me. And so that's the thing. And see, when that happens, then it's important to point that out. It's like, oh, so what? I see you back on your thing. So so you're telling me by that demonstration that what you're getting from that is more important than what you're getting from me. So share what you're getting. What did you get? Oh, I'm playing a game. You're playing a game, so what did you learn from the game? Oh, nothing. So they're in the corner. That's how we have to be clever and corner them about their behaviors, because if not, they're immersed and their time is spent on recreation and entertainment. And that alone.
One of the things that we did for that particular aspect, Brother Marvell, in San Francisco, is that during the time before I retired, we decided, the three officers and myself who created two programs, we decided that, yes, our obstacle was just that, boredom, inattention, and we use that as our bedrock. Our catch was revenue. How to make money illegally, how to make money legally. We used money as the carrot because everybody needs it, and young people at the time in San Francisco were running and were selling your marijuana. Rock cocaine. In other words, it enterprise. A lot of the streets and a lot of the communities were involved in that type of business. A lot of shootings, a lot of drive-bys at that time also. But the three of us hung with how important money is to both the criminal enterprise and the legitimate enterprise. When we started, very few would want to listen because, quote unquote, they were out making money. Encompassed in our lesson plan was how to use common sense to make legitimate money instead of having to go to jail or get shot and killed doing things illegally. We were semi-successful, and I mean semi-successful because if we had had more time, but once again, time, we'd have been able to reach quite a few. During the 2.5 years that program was in existence, we started with a population of 10. And I'm not going to give some crazy number. No, we wound up with a population of almost 100 different young men from different communities interested in how to make legitimate money instead of criminal money. And several of those young men were heavy in the business world at that time in selling both the marijuana and the crack cocaine. So there is a way to reach young people. It's just that the topic has to be something that gravitates to interest. And right now, all of us need revenue. All of us. And I think with that kind of at least conversation, not approach, but conversation along the lines of common sense, you can make some strides.
Thank you, Brother Joe. We're going to take a moment for a station identification, and then we'll get back to the show at hand. This is Wise Words with One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. And we was talking about church, so I'm going to play a church song and then we'll get right back to the conversation.
All of the world could drift away, and the way things are going, that could be today. But there's a comfort in knowing that in spite of all things, I still have your grace, grace. Water and fire might consume it all, and the things I put before you would have no value at all. So now I have a new perspective on what's important to me. I still want your grace.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents Youth Healing Circle every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Youth Healing Together.
2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67, our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67 every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together.
Question to speakers and listeners. What can one do to attract the grace of God? Again, what can one do to attract the grace of God? What say ye?
That's simple. That's simple. Living right. Having a base of communication. First one, living right. We have been so miseducated into how to live. So in attempting to attract what is good from the Bible or God's grace is the fact that we're not living right. That's first. Many of us are caught up in today's society so deep that even presented a clear and concise path, we can't take it because we don't believe. I was just listening to the song, and what kept coming to my mind is the family unit. That's where the spirituality, the listening, the common sense, that's where all of that is taught in the family unit. We don't have family units as we once did, and that's a problem. Problem is the fact that nobody's listening. In the family unit, we had time to talk with each other and communicate with each other. The youngsters had time to see just exactly what a Christian family clean unit was about. We don't have those examples any longer. And to me, that's one of the reasons why our relationships don't work. As grandma and grandpa.
Joe, you sound kind of garbled, Joe. You sound kind of garbled, and we got some feedback in your in the background, I think.
I'm in a quiet room.
Okay, well, we've got some kind of some strange feedback, and you were sounding kind of underwater for a minute.
I do hear it. I do.
So am I coming too clear? Am I coming too clear?
Yeah, you're coming too clear. Everyone else need to mute their phones when they're not talking.
Yes, I did hear the background. I'll just finish up by saying this. It is the family unit. And that's one of the things that our community suffers in, is the family unit, because in that family unit is where communication, the grace of God, the right way of doing things, common sense. That's where those were taught. And we just don't have the family units as we once did. And that's one of the reasons why we, our people are in the situation that I feel that we're in. It's because of our whole connectedness as family. And we don't have that as we once did.
I say, if I may interject the word tells us that grace and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. So that tells me that no matter what I'm doing, direction I'm going, grace and mercy is back there to carry me through. I got some more feedback. Somebody's getting out their car or something.
20 seconds.
But as I was saying, grace and mercy is always with you. And it's there when you need it, not when you want it. Because some things we have to go through in order to get through. And for as the family, unity in the family, that was broken up by this system that we're under. It takes each one out the house and sends them in a different direction. And every time a person goes out of their dwelling, they come back with something new, whether it be new anger, new love, what have you. They come back with something new into that household. And the members of that household begin to disagree on a lot of things because we go in different directions. That's not the way God had planned it. Man took and twisted this world around to where we have to do as man wants us to do, go out and hustle for a dollar. Because we can't make no money. We have to go out and earn it or steal it or take it. But you can't make it. So that's something else we have to teach our kids, that they can't make money. They can earn it. And that's where I go back to them abilities, responsibilities. You know, you have to have these abilities to do certain things. And you have to have the ability and the mindset to do things the right way, not the wrong way. Because this world teaches us to do things the wrong way. You want your kid to go to school, and I want to be a lawyer. Well, you got to learn to be a liar. You got to learn to go against who if you want to be a lawyer. You want to be a doctor. You have to learn to think and do things according to the way they want it done. You can't do it your way. Even if your way is best, you can't do it your way. Even if it costs somebody their life, you still have to do it their way. So that's why I say we have to rethink a lot of things, because we go against God's plan every day, leaving our house, leaving our family in the hands of strangers, to be taught by strangers. To your wife, she goes to work, and she's being misguided. She's going to work, and there's guys out there that she's going to look up on and start to respect more than she do her husband. So that's what I'm saying, and vice versa. The men, they go to work and they Googling these guys. Oh, man, I wish my wife looked like that. They're no longer happy with what they got because they're being subjected to too much out there in this world versus the kids growing up in their household, being taught by their parents right from wrong, being taught the way, the old way of being taught. We taught our own. We learned from our own. We refurbished our communities with what we had. We replenished our communities, rather. We took care of each other. We loved on one another. But now we go different directions, and we come back with hate in our heart for one another because they're not living up to the standards that we see outside of the home. We want our home to be just like this one's home, and that don't work for everybody. So that's why I say we have to rethink a lot of things. If you want to get back to God, like I say, you got to get out there around the things that God made. God didn't make these houses. God didn't make these cars. This stuff is a distraction. And ain't no way this stuff cannot go back into the earth and replenish it. It contaminates it. Just like we contaminate each other with the stuff that we done gathered out here in this world. That's why I have to get out and get to nature or something. Even if you take a long drive by yourself, if you're scared of the forest, you're scared of the water, just take a long drive by yourself. Cut the radio off and just think and just listen. God will speak to you, and you'll find out that grace and mercy is there always. But it's not there when you want it. It's there when you need it.
Okay, so Mark.
Yes,
yeah, that you gave a lot of clarification about what the result of it is, or what would happen if you don't apply a formula for attracting. What does one do to attract the grace of God? And you brought it back home when you said about getting into nature and. Really, when you say take a drive, you didn't say me and my girl. You said you. One
yes.
gets in solace with themselves, and then allows that spirit to be a part of their personal experience, right? That's what I've gathered from that, because I really want to, because Joe gave he gave a crisp response and said that's easy. But by the time he got through, it didn't sound so easy because there was a lot of elements involved in that, right? So I'm just like when we talk about attracting, there's something specific that is suggested that we do specifically, not generally, but specifically that would attract that great.
But see, that's the thing that I'm saying. You don't attract it. It's there. It's following you. It's following you. It's just like that security guard in that store. When you walk into that store, he follows you around. You don't attract him. He follows you because that's his job. And like I tell a lot of people, why is he following?
But he can't follow everybody at the same time. So there has to be something about you that he's suspicious of. I want to just have a general because we talk about, we heard about grace in the song, right? And we have experienced the grace of God, right? And you say that it's when you need it, not when you want it, that's a perspective. I'm saying when you want it, what could you do to summons it? What can you do
when you want it? I just told you, God's grace is always abound. It's always there. It's always there. See, that's why I behoove you to get to know the Creator and things, because it's so simple. It's very simple. It's always there with you. It's just like your spirit is always there with you. But the thing is, we have two voices sitting on either side of our shoulders whispering in our ear. And common sense will tell you which one to choose. If you hear a good voice, you hear a bad voice when we approach certain situations. And your common sense will tell you to choose the good voice, because you want to bring love to people, not hurt, harm, or danger. So that's why I say grace is always there. Grace and mercy is always there. There's an old song that says, "Your grace and mercy carried me through." It's just like running a race. You in your lane. And if anybody has ran track, they could understand this. You can take off that starting block and you run as fast as you can, but you step in that other person's lane. And you didn't know it, but you still running. But that judge, he's seen it already. And you get down there to the end thinking you done won, he can call you back. No, you didn't win. You stepped outside your lane back there. So it's not given to the swift or the strong. It's him that endures. Endures. See, we don't want to endure nothing. We don't want to go through things. We want a quick fix. Oh, help me now. Lord, help me now. God is not going to help you with nothing he didn't create. See, so we're caught up in a misguided world. We've all been misguided. We've all been taught to follow the path of illegitimate fools, really, because they know not. They've just been taught to do. And so we're following them, and we're all caught up. But God's grace and mercy is going to save those who know not, but did. See, that's the difference. If you know to do something and you chose to do wrong, grace and mercy ain't there for you. They waiting for you to start out on the right track. They waiting on you to start that race over again and stay in your lane and don't get sidetracked by what he's got, what she's got, how well they're doing it, how come I'm not receiving what they got. It's not your timing. As it was said earlier, it's all about timing. Some people are meant to get things at a different time in their life. If you get it when they got it, it might not last long. So we have to be patient. And the love of God is always there, which is the grace of mercy.
Okay, out of your presentation came endurance. Endurance is one of those laws of attraction for grace to surface, because I kind of hear you say that it's there. However, if one doesn't do what's necessary to activate it, then it's just there, waiting for you to do something. And that's what I was asking. What is it that one does to summon the grace that's there, to make it surface, make it active, and make it known that you know what it is, not just someday you do something and it kicks in because God's grace said, okay, I don't want you to go through this. I'll let you go through that, but I don't want you to go through this. So I'm going to be gracious, and I'm going to excuse you from this.
Let me put it to you this way, Brother Marvell. You've seen many addicts, drunks, what have you, out there on the streets, right?
Okay.
We've all did our things, you know. But what I'm saying is this here. You've seen some get clean sooner than others. Some still walling in their mess. If you love doing something, like I say, God is a God of choices. He's not going to go against your will. See, you have to be willing to make that change. And so once you set in your heart that I want to change, God's grace is going to help you through that change. God's grace is going to help you receive the things that you need. God's grace is there to catch you when you fall, to cushion that fall.
Yeah, but Mark, I have to share with you, I did it earlier. God's grace, despite my intentions, God's grace saved my life and the life of somebody I was trying to kill.
Correct.
Right? So I wasn't willing. I didn't voluntarily say, hey, okay, God, I'm getting ready to do this. Step in. No, intent was to end a life. But that life, the grace of God, saved and preserved not only their life, but mine as well. So what did I do to deserve that?
The goodness in your heart. See, everybody has a certain amount of goodness. Well, like I say, everybody has goodness in their heart. But some people are complete evil. I mean downright evil. Did you set out in your heart to do evil? Or is it something that happened that provoked that evilness in your heart? These are the things you have to think about. And not only that, certain things we don't need to question. We just need to know that it's there and it's available. You don't attract it. It's there at God's timing, though. God saw fit. God seen that you're an astute man. You're a smart man. You can teach somebody something. You have the willingness and desire to teach somebody something that you didn't know you had the willing to do. But God knew it. So we don't question God. We just follow through and just be thankful that God didn't leave you there. That's all you have to do, be thankful for it. And that's what all of us as listeners, hearers, doers of the word, we have to be thankful that God chose us to listen and hear and be a doer of his word. Because many are called, but few are chosen. You just happen to be one of those that was chosen. I just happened to be one of those that was chosen. Tim just happened to be one of those that was chosen. See, there were many of them out there in the game, but God didn't choose them. God chose us for a time as this. I hope that helped you.
Okay, so, gosh, I forgot my brother's name.
It's all right.
What was my brother's name? Not dadgummit, not Joe. Are you still with us?
Oh, yeah. I have a comment.
Okay,
I'd like to follow up on.
Yeah, please do.
But Mark has said it several times, and I agree with it, that the voice, the spirit, the inkling to do right is all within the individual. Those two voices, many of us have listened to the wrong voice for a number of years. And while you guys were talking, I was thinking about a couple of young men who turned their lives around from being avid drug sellers to actually going to college and whatnot. And the question was, who were you listening to? Who was talking to? Who was in your ear? And when that was brought to these young people at the time I was employed for the city, that began to resonate. Because many of them would say after the second, after I booked them in the second time, I said, why did you come back here? Did you not understand what lockup meant for you at your time in your life? I wasn't listening. That goes a long, long way when you say I wasn't listening. Because if you're not listening or cannot listen to common sense, then your life is on a trajectory of destruction. At least two of the young men began to listen, and I think that's one of the major things that we have problems with in our community and throughout this world. Nobody is listening. As Brother Mark has said, everybody wants to be a leader. Brother Marvell, you've said it. Everybody wants to be out front. Everybody wants to be a chief of something, CEO of something. The boss don't have the capability of being what they think they are because they are not listening. Those of us who listen wind up doing things within common sense arenas because we are listening. We've heard, guys like us have heard the wrong. You have even acted in the wrong, but we kept listening. We were listening when we were young. But that voice got us to turn and go a different direction. However, that voice stayed with us, and eventually we come back home, basically. And that's what, again, by your voice and Brother Tim's voice at the schools, that's what's missing is that voice. And that's what you and the brother provide when you go to the classroom and when you start going to the other systems and other classrooms, other school districts and whatnot. It's the voice. Because in that voice is common sense. Someone mentioned a while ago about a kid saying that, oh, yo, Tyra, you've had your turn, and now it's my turn. That's true. In the progression of life, that's true. However, the knowledge and experience is with us. And getting a young person to listen, the right language has to be brought to them. That's all.
That's what I was talking about, the art form. So, you know, I think it's a study necessary for us as you know, trained and versed in what we do as adults and as seasoned veterans in this life game to be observant of those skills, improving those skills and observing those who have those skills to duplicate those skills so that we won't get set up, become a set aside after a period of time. You know, it's like, okay, again, you said it and I'm saying it too. Okay, I've been tolerant of you for ample time. So now, you know, I'm going to go and do my thing and I don't have any more attention for you. Right, and so it's important for us to recognize that, and to be able to redirect. That's a skill, to redirect back to what the attention was given for. Not you being gracious to me and allowing me to speak, but being receptive to the message and responsive to the message. And if you're not doing it, then we got to start all over, because that's not why I did this. That's why we ask kids, when we go into class, we ask them, why do you think we're here? And they'll say it. They'll say, well, you want to teach us how to do the right thing. You want to teach us how to not use drugs. You want to teach us how to make good decisions. You want to teach us how to be men, right? So with that admission in the atmosphere, if they lose tolerance for us, we have to go back and say, wait a minute, hold on. Look, now remember what you said, what your peers said, that's not why we're here. We're not here for you to give us your audience and then lose your patience. We're here to build your patience. We're here to build your attentiveness. So let's start over. And that's the kind of working knowledge that is important for us as mature members and leaders of this information to be aware of. That's all. That's kind of like in the capsule what I've been suggesting that we give attention to when we talk about our young people, because they'll lose your attention.
Let me say this on the comment. The only reason that attention is lost is because I don't see an example. I don't see. I hear the words. I while I'm in the class, I get the feelings, my emotions, all my attention span is with the brothers. We are one. As soon as I walk out that door and hit that concrete sidewalk, I have to refocus from what I just left to something that I automatically know, because what I just left gave me an emphasis to move forward. But I don't see any examples out there to where I can navigate to keep the direction going, to keep the flow going, to keep that energy level going. I think that's one of the major, major problems in our community. The young people don't see examples of what the three of us, the 10 of us, 100 of us could be talking about, are talking about. There are no clear, concise examples of doing right. As I said a moment ago, a lot of that was taught to us, family, through family, by doing the right thing. And there are no examples of that until they run into you and Brother Marvell, Brother Jim, in the classroom. And that's where they begin to make the connection. But once that class is over, they go, as we all know, they go right back to the same environment that they had just walked out of. Now, that's why I feel that they crowd the classroom that you two were in, because the emotions and feelings and listening is part of what they're there for. The kids want it. They don't know how to express themselves to get it, but they do want it. And those of us that can actually bring that kind of emotional stability to them, they gravitate to, because there's no other stimulus like that on the outside. And so it's just a thought on what you were saying, Brother Barlow.
Well, early on, I mentioned that I was involved with a organization that they call the Universal Church of Religious Science, and they talk about what they call science of mind and universal principles. And there's a couple of things, like any other practice or religion, that's true, that turns out to be true, in at least in my experience. There are a lot of things in Christianity that are true in my experience. There are things that Jehovah's Witnesses practice. There are things that the Muslims practice. There are things that the Universal Church of Religious Science. And one of them is that whatever you want to experience, when you go somewhere, if there's something that you want to experience, you bring it with you. So you'll make sure that you experience it and you give an example of what that experience looks like. So when the kids are with us and we have their attention and we're in for them and they're in a groove and moving toward understanding, I guess our goal is when they walk out and see that reality, their perspective about that reality is different. Therefore, their demonstration in that reality will be different. So whatever it is that they experience with us, if they want to continue to experience it when they get into that atmosphere, they bring it with them. And that's our goal, is to get them to bring it with them so that they can continue to have the experience that they had when they were with us. I hope that makes sense.
I say, but I want to add something to that. The reason why a whole lot of these kids are not gravitating to the things that we try to teach them and tell them, because we're not the only ones trying to reach these kids, and we have to know that. The reason why they're not getting it is because they're not getting it from the people that are supposed to give it to them, their parents. Most of these kids are adopted. They're in group homes or what have you. They already have a bitterness in their heart. They have a mindset that, well, you ain't my daddy. You ain't my mama. So they're not getting it from the people that they're supposed to get it from. So it's hard for them to attain whatever they hear. They want to do right, but they're not getting it from who's supposed to teach them. And that's why I say again, the system has taken those abilities are those gifts from the kids, because that's the gift to have your parents present and to teach you right from wrong and stuff. So, like I say, we have our work cut out for us, and we have to also understand that each one of those kids in there learns and understands different from the other. So some might catch it right on. Others, it's going to take a while, and it's going to take a while. So we just have to be patient and keep doing what we're doing and just know that God is going to give the increase. All we're going to do is water it, plant the seed, water it, but we can't watch it grow, because then you'll begin to pull the nourishment away from that seed. You're going to block the sunlight from that seed. So we have to be mindful of that. Go ahead, my brother.
In nurturing that seed, the foundation is consistency. That's another aspect that a lot of young people don't see, and that is consistency. And I know that once you're consistent with your statement, it begins to resonate. No matter what age bracket or crowd or culture, if I can see, once again, if I can see that Marvell, Brother Tim, Brother Mark, Brother Larry, myself, and others are interested, then I'm listening. I'm listening because I know I'm gaining something. There's something that I feel good about. And as I said a moment ago, with the experience that I've had with kids in a different arena, once they feel that they can trust what you say to them, irrespective of their circumstances, they will always be at your doorstep, because that's when the youngster feels that they have learned or is learning something of value, something that they can use further on down the line. Brother Mark just said it, and I've said it many times, and we all know it. A lot of what we talk about here starts at the house. A lot of what we talk about here in terms of gifts and common sense and various other aspects of life starts at home, and it's not being done. And that's where the downfall is. Sure, I can come to a class at the Healing Circle
But once I leave the circle, if I have to return back to the same environment that I left to come to the healing circle, so I could listen to somebody, trust it, their conversation, believe that I too have that sort of inner power to summon the voice, then I'm going to fail. It just means that consistency.
Yes.
If I want to get some good information, consistency. I know if I go there, I'm not only going to get information, but I'm going to feel good about it.
Okay, that rings a lot. That rings a lot truer to consistency thereof, because otherwise, I mean, the two worlds collide, right? And the world, the one, is the suggestion is the one that has the most power, like the dog that you feed the most, is the one that has the, you know, the tendency to attack or has the strength to overwhelm. So I just think from where I look at it and where I came from, when I was a drug user and I went around, we're running out of time, so I'm going to table that experience and just put it in the capsule to say that it's our greatest hope that we plant a seed that takes root. If we stay consistent, the seed will take root. And once it takes root, then the groundbreaking is certain to come. And then we don't have to be concerned about them not representing that. So, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. And moreover, I look forward to being able to continue to interact. And we'll keep on sharing these perspectives and our theories about things until we start getting people to subscribe and call in and share theirs. But until then, we're going to continue to move in the direction that we've been moving with these subjects, because it's vital for us to share what we know and to be optimistic about the future of our people. So thank you very much for your time and your energy and your effort, and we're going to sign off and look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
I say it was a good one.
Amen.
Brother
Ken,
are you there? All right, God bless all, bro.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is a pretty decent concept. I'd also like to throw something on the table for tomorrow, and that would be relationships. I think that it's come time for us to at least touch on that one aspect that a lot of our kids, people, us.
You sound like you're underwater, Joe.
Have trouble with.
Yeah.
You sound like you're underwater,
swear,
man.
I swear I'm not.
But I'm just saying, that's how it's coming across, like you're underwater. I don't know what that is, man. It could have something to do. Look, whenever we're talking consciousness, seem like something always come to try to block it. That's what it seemed like to me. It could just be me.
Well,
every time consciousness comes to the forefront, it seems like there's always something that happens to try to stop it.
That's the inevitable.
Well, I'll just say that I look forward to being with you guys tomorrow.
I say.
Right, we're going the distance.
Likewise.
That's right, brother. We're going the distance, man.
Yeah, see, we don't want to do it. The first time we're going to go past 11.
see, but, you know, now everybody's sounding garbled. I don't get it. So maybe we'll just everybody sign off on the count of three. One.
I'm out.
Two. Three.